Good morning, Connecticut, and to our friends across the sound. It's John Voquette, Director of Public Affairs for Connoisseur Media. Thanks for tuning into our award-winning public affairs program for the people, bringing you the latest information to help address concerns in our communities tied to youth, the economy, public health and safety, aging, education, and the environment. Well, we may be in the last few hours of April, but it's still National Safe Digging Month across the United States and Call Before You Dig Month here in Connecticut. So it's as good a time as any to remind property owners and companies planning any type of excavation, even simple yard work, to notify Call Before You Dig 2 full working days before you break ground. Then we'll catch up with the founder of Connecticut's Women's Business Development Council, the WBDC, to learn about all the things going on with this incredible agency, including an upcoming gathering of women business owners at the state capitol this week and all kinds of free courses and webinars to help start or grow your business. Then we're going to close talking with a woman business owner, the founder of New England Young at Heart. This is a service network that guides elderly individuals and their caretakers in enriching their lives with purpose and meaning through events, activities, and services provided through the agency's growing network of contacts and partners. We'll be back with these segments and more on the award-winning For the People with me, John Voquette, right after this reminder. Time to have some fun. The Lockwood Matthews Mansion Museum is launching a scavenger hunt in collaboration with the Center for Contemporary Printmaking and Stepping Stones Museum for Children. It's happening on Sunday, June 3rd from 2 to 4 p.m. at Matthews Park in Norwalk. Participants will search for some of the most mysterious symbols, architectural details, objects, and history on the exterior facade of all three buildings and inside the mansion. Scavenger hunters will be able to play alone or as a team, but they need to bring their A game and their powers of observation to win the top prize. Children must be accompanied by an adult or legal guardian. For more information on the scavenger hunt and tours and programs, visit LockwoodMatthewsMansion.com.
Well, it's a quiet morning here in Milford, Connecticut, but that doesn't mean somewhere right now there's a bunch of folks digging something up because spring is here, the ground is soft, and all kinds of excavating projects are going around. Whether you're eyeballing those post hole diggers and you're ready to go out and put a fence in or replace that mailbox pole that the plow knocked down back during a storm, or you've got some major project, swimming pool, driveway, or there's some larger commercial projects going on in your world, you need to remember that you need to call before you dig. We're here in the last Sunday of April, Call Before You Dig Month, with a good friend that we've gotten to know over the years on this program. He works with Iroquois Gas Pipeline, a company no stranger to digging all the time. Tom Bashaw is here with us, and we're hanging out at one of their facilities right now in Milford. So April is National Safe Digging Month, Tom, and the governor earlier this month proclaimed a Call Before You Dig Day, and we say CBYD here. That's 811 to most of the folks who need to know the number to call, right?
That's right, John. Yeah, earlier this month, the governor put in a proclamation, April is Safe Digging Month. One of the things that Call Before You Dig that we try to encourage, especially with homeowners, like you were saying, any of those mailboxes, any shrubbery, things like that, they can go to our website, which we've actually just updated this year, made it a bit more user-friendly. Folks can go in there and get a lot of information, and we do have specific information in there specifically just for homeowners. Any folks that are even just curious about it, any utilities that come into their property or anything they need located, there's information on how they can go about doing that. You know, it's a good idea for anybody, not just homeowners, because, typically homeowners aren't as familiar with the excavating community and the regulations as contractors are. But we encourage everybody, homeowners, contractors, anybody going to be doing any type of work like that. Our website is full of really useful information. There's a lot of good contacts on there where people can get a hold of folks if they have questions, and we can answer a lot of their questions just through the website.
So do you have some idea of when incidents occur? And we don't really hear too many of them, but when they happen, they can be pretty spectacular in terms of the scope of damage that could be done in a short amount of time, especially if you puncture a natural gas line, as you know. But does it seem like the commercial excavating industry is getting it? Are you seeing any proportion of commercial excavations causing digging problems with utility lines versus, I should say, commercial municipal versus private owners, or is the bulk of the problems that you're hearing about in your circle of contacts mostly homeowners? Just as you said, they don't do this all the time, so they don't know what they don't know.
Yeah, actually, I mean, if you go percentage-wise, the amount of homeowners doing any excavating is quite a bit percentage-wise smaller than the commercial excavating community. So, you know, obviously we're going to see more damages, you know, from commercial excavators. But actually in Connecticut, we have an excellent record. We're one of the best states out of the 50 states. And one of the things we've done, call before you dig, we've upgraded our website. We've also put in information on there for people how to submit e-tickets, which is very popular with a lot of folks. Everybody's using their cell phones. Everybody's using their computers nowadays. And we've actually seen an increase in the last 2 years from roughly 30% of the notifications coming in as e-tickets to 80% now. So we're seeing a lot more folks coming in and putting in notices that they're going to be excavating. So it's reduced a lot of incidents quite significantly in the state.
And while it's very quick and easy to do an e-ticket on your computer, your mobile device, your tablet, the time with which folks need to file that e-ticket ahead of their planned digging still hasn't changed. That's still a few days, right?
That's correct, John. So by Connecticut state law, you're required to put in your submission 2 full working days prior to your excavation. So in other words, if it's a Monday and I want to do my digging, I can put my call in on Monday. I have to wait Tuesday and Wednesday, and then I'm allowed to go in and do my digging on Thursday. So it's required 48 hours. And the reason for that is for the utilities to have time to come out there, mark their utilities, make contact with the excavator or the homeowner to let them know what's out there.
And in one of those odd twists of coincidence regarding something required by law, strangely enough, all of the call before you dig services don't cost taxpayers anything.
They don't cost them a thing. It's all supported by the utilities. The utilities make up the membership. And on the board of directors where I serve, it's all made up of different utilities around the state of Connecticut. And so we all pay into that. And we're required by state statute to be members of that as a utility. So, yeah, it's absolutely free. It costs nothing. You put in your e-ticket, or you can even call the 811 number here in Connecticut. You'll get a hold of a live operator. And if you have any questions, they're more than happy to help you with them.
Now, one of the things that I was talking to somebody about earlier in the month when I was writing about Call Before You Dig Month for a publication I work for was, my house is 50 years old, and back then they buried utilities a lot deeper. I don't live in a new subdivision, or I don't have a newly built house, so the chances of my utility lines being anywhere close enough for the surface for me to mess with them when I'm digging post holes for a fence or excavating my garden out near the street, I'm not going to hit anything. Those are comments I imagine you don't like to hear.
That's correct. No, we don't like anybody to make assumptions that the utilities in their property or wherever aren't subject to being damaged. Like we try to get everybody to understand, it's very cheap, very quick, very easy just to contact the call center. And, we also list private locators. So in certain private properties, underground utilities aren't covered by the utility company. But there are private locator companies that will be happy to come out, and they'll locate utilities in your property for you, give you an indication where they could be. And that way, it's just a safe insurance. It's peace of mind. You don't have to worry about causing any damages.
And in those situations, the service is still free?
Absolutely. The private contractors that come out and locate may charge a small fee to come out and mark utilities, but you as the owner are responsible for that. And, the cost is quite minimal to what could happen, the impact of if you struck a gas main coming into your home or an electric line, things like that. We even encourage folks sometimes when they're setting up tents for proms, weddings, things like that out in the backyard. There's been incidents where the rental company may come out and bang in metal stakes to set up a tent, which people don't even think is excavating, and they've struck in electric lines and caused electrocution hazards. So, you know, we just encourage people. It's for your own safety, and there's really minimal cost to any of it for a homeowner.
So for folks who have been living in a home for a long time, they're typically aware of some sort of utility work has been going on around their house. But are there still a lot of incidents where these utility lines are getting hit, where people say, I never even knew that was there?
Well, surprisingly, yeah, that folks sometimes aren't aware that there's utilities, and they may think they know what's there, but, like the old saying, you don't know what you don't know. So that's why we just encourage people, just call the center. It's, it's really easy, simple thing to do.
And the thing we didn't really cover, but you mentioned resources on the new website. There's actually, if I understand correctly, manuals that people, like, if they don't want to sit there and read it on the internet, they can either save it on their computer and read it later or save it on their mobile device. You have published manuals for both homeowners and commercial operators?
Yeah, that's correct, John. We have information on there. People can download it. They can read it on our website. And it explains everything very simply, just what folks need to do, to be aware of what the regulations are in the state and, the different processes that take place when, a one-call ticket is placed.
And I see something here that I don't recall ever talking to you about before. It's called damage access.
Yeah, damage access is something new that we've implemented this year. Actually, we got the funding from a federal grant. And what it is for years, the process for reporting damages or violations to the law, to the Call Before You Dig laws and statutes in Connecticut, required utilities or excavators or homeowners to fill forms out in long form on paper. It was a very laborious task. So it by folks not reporting things, we weren't aware of it. You don't know where to develop metrics and what areas to target for damage education and prevention. So we implemented damage access. And now it's a very quick, easy. Folks can go into our website at Call Before You Dig. And if you're aware of anybody violating the Connecticut laws or somebody not putting in a one-call ticket and doing excavating, which you feel may be hazardous to folks in your neighborhood, they can go in and report that with damage access. It's a very simple, quick reporting tool, and it's available right on Call Before You Dig website.
Okay. Anything else about the website that is available to people either as a resource or provide greater ease of use in the process?
Yeah, we have things on there such as our events tab, which it's basically a calendar of events that are coming up, different shows that Call Before You Dig, its board of directors and members participate in. And, they have informational booths set up at different shows, things like that. So folks can find out, the latest news, the things that are going on, just a wealth of information. And like I said, we just redid the website this year, it's really an impressive website. Everything is pretty much up to date, and we really like it. And nowadays with folks, everybody's referring to websites. Everything is being done through PCs, and we felt it was important to update the technology and to keep up with it. And we're really proud of the damage access reporting tool and the upgrades to our new website.
And I guess the bottom line is, especially for homeowners who may not do this all the time, if they're digging or driving stakes for a family picnic, putting up their big tent in the backyard, or they put a shovel in the ground and they feel like they've hit something, is that reason enough to make a call in to Call Before You Dig? Can they sometimes nick a utility where the damage will essentially present at a later, less opportune time?
Yeah, that's a good point. And that's why we encourage folks to call before they dig. But yeah, if you do damage to an underground utility, if you're not sure, they should definitely call the center, put in a ticket. The utilities can give them the information about what it is. But yeah, any damage done, it's very important that it's reported to the utility so the utility can get out there, inspect it, and make any necessary repairs.
Yeah, so they're moving their mailbox post a few feet to the left so it doesn't get hit by a plow as easily, and they bang bang into something when they're driving their shovel in the ground. They probably should not continue to do that digging, even though they're just a few inches below the surface.
Yeah, we definitely recommend if they feel like they've done any damage to an underground utility, call the utility right away, stop all work, and get a hold of the utility. The utilities come out free of charge, and we'll investigate and let the person know what needs to take place if repairs are necessary.
And this 811, no matter where people are listening, that's now a universal call before you dig number pretty much nationally?
Yes, that's correct. It's pretty much a trademark by the Common Ground Alliance, which represents all the 50 states in the U.S. And anybody can call 811. They'll get their local one call center, or just go to the website. Very simple to get to, and just surfing through the website, there's just a wealth of information on there for homeowners and excavators alike.
Excellent. And that website is cbyd.com for Call Before You Dig. It's a free service provided to anyone who's doing any kind of excavating. As you heard from our guest, Tom Bashaw from Iroquois Gas Pipeline, it is easy to hit or nick a utility line, even if you're digging a little bit below the surface, planting a tree, putting in new posts for a fence or a mailbox. Digging without knowing what's below the surface risks causing property damage, injury, and even possibly death. We've seen that here in Connecticut, really almost within sight of where we're standing right now up on the hills in Milford. They had a horrific incident in Derby a couple of decades ago as a result of a punctured gas line. Don't forget, according to representatives of Call Before You Dig, that you need to be aware of the danger of digging blindly. So don't forget to call 811 or go to cbyd.com for an e-ticket available to the public. And the service, once again, is free. And if you are digging and you hit something and you think you may have nicked a utility line, don't hesitate to call to get a crew out there to determine whether or not there's any damage to any underground utilities. Tom Bashaw, thank you so much again for your time and effort in helping us reinforce this important public service and safety message. Travel safe, and we'll see you next year on Call Before You Dig Month.
All right. Thanks, John. We appreciate the opportunity to be on.
All right. Well, it's a busy time for the WBDC. I'm talking about the Women's Business Development Council, but blessedly, their founder and leader, Fran Pastore, has never hesitated to pick up the phone for a few minutes and chat with us and all the women and all the business people, entrepreneurs and professionals around Connecticut and wherever you're listening about the great work that's going on. Always some exciting news, new developments, new activities, offerings for individuals looking to start or jumpstart or take their business to the next level. There's financing, guidance, mentoring, all kinds of great information and resources available for you at the Women's Business Development Council. CTWBDC.org is your way to get in touch with them at first. But we're going to tell you lots of other ways. Fran, how you doing this morning?
Oh, I'm well, John. Thanks so much. Thanks for having me today.
So lots going on. Let's start with the big show that's coming up really right after a few days after this broadcast, and that's the 5th annual Women-Owned Business Day up at the Capitol in Hartford.
Yeah, it's so exciting, and I'm so looking forward to it. We're doing something a little different this year. We're having a panel discussion, and we have the head of the Office of Women's Business Ownership at the Small Business Administration joining us from Washington, D.C., Kathy McShane, who's a Connecticut resident. And, John, the whole purpose of the day is to make our state officials, the administration, and the state legislature aware of the importance and of the economic impact that women-owned businesses have on our state's economy. And it's our way of showcasing our clients by bringing a dialogue to the state capital that no one else really is having. So we're really proud of this event. Just about every legislator in the state has signed on to join us next week at the event. So we're really lucky because this is an economic issue that has bipartisan support.
Yeah, a lot of organizations and groups hold events or these labeled or branded days at the Capitol, ostensibly for the same reasons that the Women's Business Development Council is holding their fifth annual Women-Owned Business Day. In these years where the cycle presents a short session, you know, I got to tell you, yesterday I've already gotten two notices about post-session meet and greets and wrap-ups with legislators. This event is coming kind of precipitously close to the end of the session. Is there anything that's on the table right now at the State House that you hope to maybe get some additional traction on, even at this late stage of the game, with your show of force on May 2nd?
Well, you know, it's an interesting question that you pose. First of all, the reason that the event is so late in the session is because we try to hold the event during National Small Business Week.
Mm-hmm.
So it's National Small Business Week, the first week of May,
right.
Which is traditionally when it's held.
A point of convergence, yes.
That said, for the Women's Business Development Council, there is nothing huge on the table for us in particular, but for women in the state of Connecticut, you know that last week the pay equity bill passed the House, and of course that bill is still out there, and my colleagues at the Connecticut Women's Legal and Education Fund are working very, very hard to get this bill passed before the end of the session through the Senate. And so the dialogue that we're going to be having on Women-Owned Business Day, and I hope that the people that are listening to the show today, you know that you don't have to be in business or an entrepreneur to attend this event, because this year's dialogue is going to include, as I said, Kathy McShane from the Small Business Administration in D.C., but also Patricia Russo, who is the head of the Women's Campaign School at Yale here in Connecticut, and also Susan Johnson, who is the head of the Chief of Diversity and Inclusion at the Hartford Insurance Company. And the reason we have brought this panel together is to talk about the much bigger issues that women face in our society today. I think it's been a tumultuous year, not only in Connecticut for women, but also around the state and certainly around the globe. So our conversation is going to be really about the current state of affairs for women in our country, and how women in every facet of society can learn from this time and place that we are today, whether they are in the corporate sector, whether they are an entrepreneur, whether they are thinking about a position in politics, in public life. We are going to be having a conversation about why the time is ripe right now for women to take that leap and do that thing that they may not have done or they've been thinking about doing, and why, when we have women in positions of leadership around our country, around the globe, and around our state, that societies will do better.
And truth be told, being a woman in Connecticut, a business owner or not, you're in a fairly good place. There's a lot of complaining and gnashing of teeth over a lot of things in Connecticut, but Connecticut is exemplary in its representation of women leaders, both politically and in the business community, among whom you are one.
Thank you. Yes, I mean, that is very true. And I like the idea of Connecticut being a leader on many of those topics. Certainly, just about all of our constitutionals are women in Connecticut. We are blessed to have Denise Napier, Denise Merrill, Nancy Johnson. I'm sorry, not Nancy Johnson.
Nancy Wyman, sure.
Nancy Wyman.
Sure.
But Nancy Johnson was a great member of Congress in her own right.
A trendsetter.
We're very blessed.
Yep.
We're very blessed, and that is true. That said, there has never been a better time for women to take control and take action and step up their game. I know that, with Patty Russo's organization, the Campaign School at Yale, I know that applications have quadrupled in the last 6 months to get into the Campaign School at Yale. So those are the kind of conversations that we're going to be having, and I'm not one to be a half... I'm more of a half-full person, so I wholeheartedly agree with you that women in Connecticut have it certainly better than a lot of other places, and it's really great to be in a position of leadership and have the kind of support for women's economic issues that we have in this state. We're very lucky.
The other thing that it's important for folks to know wherever they might be listening to the program is that the Women's Business Development Council has a lot to offer for individuals who are looking to get ahead. You react to the concerns you're hearing from members or mm-hmm. event attendees on mm-hmm. the front line rather quickly in terms of, we're getting a lot of noise about this issue, and mm-hmm. boom, within the next 2 or 3 months, you're having a course on it or a workshop or a presentation.
Yes.
You guys move very quickly to address concerns as they happen. You don't let them languish very long without taking some action.
Well, we try, that's for sure. I mean, I can tell you that our spring programs reflect exactly what you just shared. It's what are the needs in the marketplace? What are our clients talking about? What do they want more of? And do we have the resources in-house or through volunteers to make this happen? I can tell you that I just returned on Sunday. I'm still a bit jet-lagged from the Global Entrepreneurship Conference in Istanbul, Turkey. Mm. And it was an amazing experience. I was with people from around the globe who were in the same line of work. And we gathered together to talk about ways that we can improve what we offer to help entrepreneurship, wherever you are in the ecosystem, mm-hmm. Do better and thrive. And I can tell you that I met colleagues, both male and female, from around the globe. What entrepreneurs need around the globe is universal. And what I was so proud of was that while all these new programs are popping up and we're hearing all of this new dialogue about ecosystems and innovation, that the Women's Business Development Council has been in the business of providing services to entrepreneurs and business owners for over 21 years. Mm-hmm. And we do it well, and we have great results.
Yep, I remember those early days there in New Haven when this whole crazy wheel got started turning. But
yes.
Before we take a quick break and then come back and talk about all these offerings beyond the 5th Annual Women-Owned Business Day coming up next Wednesday, May 2nd at the State Capitol, everyone is invited if you're just tuning in. We're with Fran Pastore. She is the founder and leader of the Women's Business Development Council, WBDC. May 2nd is the Women-Owned Business Day, but there's another date to put on the calendar to be very proactive, and that is October 12th.
Mm.
Yes, it seems so far, and yet the annual gala luncheon planning is probably
yeah.
already on May 3rd, you're meeting
yes.
on the annual gala luncheon. So this is another big way for women to plan to get together, and men to celebrate both the WBDC and to have some great networking. So that's another date to put on the calendar. But what I wanted to ask you before we take a quick break, Fran, is what's the biggest single takeaway that you were able to leave Istanbul with to bring back to the WBDC? What's the one thing that you learned there that maybe we're not doing well or not doing at all that you can flip the switch on in your capacity to begin kind of putting in practice something you learned while you were at this international conference?
You know, for a long time, John, we have been thinking about, you know, how can we put a more strategic mentoring program in place for our clients. They have been talking about the need to get together to communicate more with their peers. And for a long time, I've been saying, you know, we're an educational organization. We're an educational organization. Walking away from Istanbul and learning from my colleagues that the value of having these small conversations where women entrepreneurs and business owners can meet and spend time together, if but for an hour or two, where I've always thought of that as not intentional learning, that is a big, big piece of the movement. And it is definitely one of the gaps that I see in our state, because, you know, we have all of these programs and projects that have cropped up all over the state to assist entrepreneurs through what is referred to as an ecosystem. And what I've realized is that what we have been talking about and wanting to do for a long time is exactly what needs to get done and be built here at WBDC. So we're going to up the ante on the movement in that, and we're going to be looking for women who are interested in securing a mentor and having small group mentoring programs. And that way, the education is still there and it's still in place, but these small meetups where women have the opportunity to just sit and talk about the challenges that they're facing. You know, entrepreneurship is very isolating and could be very lonely. And it's great to get the expertise that you need in terms of a skill set that you might be needing to, whether it's QuickBooks or whether it's, you know, that business plan or that marketing piece. But to have the opportunity to talk to your peers in a relaxed setting has a lot of value.
Yeah, that's where the magic happens.
I think that's where the magic happens. Yep.
Excellent.
Exactly.
If you'd like to learn more about what the Women's Business Development Council is doing, go to ctwbdc.org. Our guest this morning in our midpoint segment is Fran Pastore. She's the founder and leader of the WBDC. Lots more to talk about in just a few minutes that we have left with Fran when we come back from this break. Fran, stand by, folks. Come back with us in just a moment. Do you love Connecticut? If you do, there are hundreds of nonprofit agencies, community groups, and grassroots causes that would love to have your support. You can learn about many of them through LoveCT. Just go to our radio station website, hit the event guide tab, and click on to LoveCT to help the many causes supported by Connoisseur Media. I'm Director of Public Affairs, John Voquette. We'll be back to the award-winning For the People right after this news. There's always something wild happening at Connecticut's own zoo, including June 2nd, when the Beardsley Zoo invites you to its wild wine, beer, and food safari. Only a limited number of tickets remain for this favorite annual fundraiser. Sample tastings from local food vendors, live music, and visits to the animals on a beautiful June evening await VIP ticket holders. Also can enjoy a pre-event cocktail tasting, hors d'oeuvres, and animal encounters. You want to get it on it? We'll learn more about this and all the other events in a packed spring and summer schedule at beardsleyzoo.org. All right. Well, if you're still with us, then you're very interested in your business, man or woman. The WBDC has some exciting things going on and some exciting things to offer for folks who want to take their business to the next level, who want to jumpstart their career, or who want to begin an entrepreneurial adventure. Fran Pastore is here with us from the WBDC. Before we get into the round of upcoming classes and courses that WBDC is offering in the next couple of months, Fran, exciting news that came with a grant for a brand new location for WBDC.
Yes, we're really excited. We just received a small grant from the Small Business Administration to open up a an office in New London, Connecticut. We're really excited about that. It is a pilot grant, and if the demand is met in New London, it will become a permanent location for the Women's Business Development Council. So we're really excited about it. We've been met in New London with open arms, so we're happy about that. And my colleagues are actually up there right now. I say up there because I'm in Stamford. My colleagues are actually there right now at the new location, which is in the downtown area. I don't want to announce the exact address yet. The reason being is that we are in the process of hiring staff. And if anybody out there is interested, if you have experience in entrepreneurship, ecosystems, if you are interested in working with coaching and counseling women business owners and entrepreneurs, on our website, there's a career section, and you can go there and apply for the job. I think we have three positions open right now.
Excellent. And not only providing employment, but also providing opportunities in the form of many workshops coming up in the coming weeks and months, starting with one just a few days after the Women's Small Business Day.
Yes.
That is coming up on May 7th in Shelton, a business plan clinic. They say no matter what kind of business you're going, from a lemonade stand to a multinational conglomerate, it all starts with the right business plan, and you guys are the ones to help folks get that started.
Yeah, actually, that is been one of our most successful programs. You know, we have very long-term programs that can go up to as many as 13 weeks. But the Business Plan Clinic is for folks who really want to get a better understanding of what they need to put on paper in a more clear and concise time commitment. And so this five-session class is going to be taught by a former entrepreneur and an industry expert herself, and we're excited about it because at the event, at the program, you're going to be in the room with other entrepreneurs who are at the same stage in the life cycle of their business. And what really happens, like you said earlier, where the magic really happens are in those relationships and in those conversations that actually take place in the classroom. So business plan fundamentals, you're going to walk out of the classroom with an action plan. Hopefully, if you're a great student, you're going to walk out of there with a blueprint to really execute your business plan. Mm-hmm. And jumpstart that venture that you've been dreaming about.
Yeah, and hopefully with a reservation for June 16th when they head down to Stanford to take Express Track from concept to launch.
Yes, yes. And that is our one of our flagship programs that we have been running for quite a while. It's a half-day, well, almost a full-day program, 9 to 2, another program that has great results. So you can see from the 5-day to the 13-week, which is Guide Plan Succeed, which we're actually not offering this spring, to the Express Track, we are trying to do our best to respond to the needs that we see of our clients, some of whom have more time than others, right? So some people might have that commitment, might be able to make that commitment for that five-session class. Mm-hmm. And then the Express Track helps you really fine-tune your concept, test the integrity of your idea. And again, you are in an environment with your peers. So the success of coming out of that program with practical next steps mm-hmm. in taking your, getting that concept, gee, I've always been thinking about X, and turning that into a reality, you'll actually be walking out of there with the document to help you do that.
Excellent. The other thing that's really important is for all of the folks that are listening out there that say, I'm already in business, I'm just way too busy, I can't afford to take a morning or an afternoon or a day or several days parts of several days off to come and attend workshops. You offer some webinars. You've got one coming up on May 8th, Understanding the Ins and Outs of Business. And I see there's also one coming up on June 14th regarding financial education. Mm-hmm. Taking these webinars is also a great offering of the WBDC. But the other one that I really wanted to talk about, and I'm not sure if it's there's one that's passed, and I don't know if you're doing it again on the schedule, but I saw that you're doing something with how to start a food business.
Yes, which is that's something one of our most successful programs.
Yeah, because everybody thinks, oh, I've got grandma's secret recipe for muffins, and I'm going to really make a million on it.
Yes, exactly. But, one of the things that we launched that program 5 years ago because we started, we don't have a lot of vertical markets at WBDC. We mm-hmm. have our daycare, which fortunately we are not doing too much of anymore because All Our Kin, which is a great organization based in New Canaan, has kind of really, taken that the piece of the whole daycare business and turned that into their business, which is great. Mm-hmm. But our other vertical market that we developed, again, out of need and from listening to our clients, is this food vertical, right? So with a vertical market, we're really focusing in on that industry specific. And what's happened in Connecticut, we were always an agricultural state. That's mm-hmm. how the University of Connecticut got started with an agricultural land grant.
Yep.
Manufacturing has really died off in Connecticut, although it's seeing
a
little bit
scale.
Of resurgence.
Yeah, in an industrial scale, but we are a really thriving small manufacturing hub.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. We have many clients who are in that business.
Right.
And the same with agriculture. We're seeing a revival of agriculture, mm-hmm. of Connecticut-made and Connecticut-grown products.
Right.
In fact, in this session, just a couple of months ago, this legislative session, a bill was passed to identify products with the Connecticut-made label, which is very exciting.
Mm-hmm.
But I digress. The point here I'm making is that we listen to our clients because they wanted to get industry-specific advice and guidance and training in the food area.
Mm-hmm.
And so our food vertical really attracts an incredible number of people. I think last week we had 50 people who were already in business. They either had a food truck, they were either selling a product already, and they came to learn and hear from experts in the industry about how to take that business to another level.
Excellent. Nearly a dozen other workshops and webinars scheduled with the WBDC between now and summertime. We have no time to talk about anymore because we need to let Fran Pastore go and start digging in over in New London at their new office. So in short, ctwbdc.org is the place to go to get started, to learn about this organization, to find out what their offerings are. And most importantly, if you can make the time, and we hope you will on May 2nd, that's next Wednesday, come to the 5th Annual Women-Owned Business Day and get in on the ground floor of this brand new movement here that our guest Fran Pastore is going to help ignite through her international experience in Istanbul just a couple of days ago. That is coming up on May 2nd at the Capitol in Hartford, the 5th Annual Women-Owned Business Day, just one of the countless services and activities being brought to you by the CTWBDC. It's not just for women. It's for anyone who wants to jumpstart their business or venture into
entrepreneurship.
CTWBDC.org is a website to go. Fran Pastore, thank you so much for a great conversation,
John,
as always.
For being a leader in our community and getting this great information out to your listeners. Thanks so much.
All right. Well, we're going to wrap up the show with a woman-owned business or a woman-owned organization. We were just talking with Fran Pastore from the WBDC, and now we've switched to another friend here at the award-winning For the People. We have been working with Elaine Marcuccio since almost the very beginning of an organization that she founded called New England Young at Heart. This is a network not only providing screened resources, companies for individuals looking for services and who have needs for themselves or for an elderly loved one, but it's also an electronic forum providing tips, referrals, and local events geared toward the elderly and so much more. Elaine, we're welcome to have you back. It's great to join us again. Thank you for being part of the program. How you been?
Good. Thank you, John. Thanks for having me back. I always love to talk to you and your listeners. It's great.
You've got a lot of exciting things going on. As we said just before we turn on the microphone, you're either approaching or in your fifth year here. And I'm remembering all the way back to the beginning when you got this whole thing started, not knowing where it was going to go or what it was going to do. And now you're hosting events and you're opening new programs. There's lots to talk about. Tell us what's on the short run. I hear you're ramping up some sort of a meal service.
Yes. Many years ago, I had, my background is cooking and in events, catering. So I did a home meal delivery program, and it was successful. Just at the time, where I was with the business, it just wasn't, it was too much. So we're bringing that back by popular demand. So many people ask me every day if I could cook for them or their moms and dads. So we're going to bring that program back, and we utilize local farms for our vegetables, and I cook everything fresh from scratch. Mm-hmm. So that'll be in June. We will be launching that. It's a much needed program for people to have meals in their homes, and then it gives us a chance to kind of check on them.
Yeah,
when
sure.
Deliver the meal,
Right. So I mean, and that's a lot of, when people do these meals and Meals on Wheels and other various delivery programs that provide things, even things like the delivery of pharmaceutical and drugstore items to people, mm-hmm. That check-in, that human contact often is really, really important, because a lot of times, unfortunately, these people are so isolated in their homes and
right.
in their lives that they don't know when they're looking sick or they're looking like something's wrong. So having somebody check in like you or one of the New England Young at Heart team in doing these meal deliveries could actually provide a much bigger and more important service than giving them their daily bread.
It does. It does. It's because when you get to see somebody every day, you know, even if it is just for a few minutes to say hello and bring them in their meal, you just get to know that person, and you could see if something is off. And many times you hear about that, like you said, the Meals on Wheels or the pharmaceutical companies that deliver, they know that, you know, Mary is home every day at 3 and she's not answering.
Hmm.
And, you know, a lot of times they are that saving grace. They find, you know, they find somebody that had fallen down or something.
Yeah.
You
now,
know,
now what
did, and so
I'm interested in hearing what the logistics are for the meal service. Are you going to kind of start small and have a limited group and then see how it grows? Do you have are you doing like a commercial kitchen? And like you already said, you're going to be using locally farm sourced vegetables and fruits when available for as much of the ingredients of these meals as possible. Do you envision starting off with, a dozen or 100? How is that all going to work?
I want to start off with kind of middle. Mm-hmm. So I would say maybe about 50 meals a day.
Mm-hmm.
I run meal programs for different senior centers and some of the housing authorities.
Oh, okay.
So I kind of know what I can, you know, what I can do. And the most difficult thing is just what area. I have, we're just trying to see, you know, you might only have one person from one town, but you want to deliver to them because it needs to grow. And
sure.
That's what I ran into a few years ago. It did grow once one person had the meal. So I'm going to limit it to, you know, probably about 50 meals just to get started.
Mm-hmm.
50 meals a day, 50 clients. It'll be a really nice program.
And this will sort of radiate out from the central Naugatuck Valley area.
Yes. Yeah.
Very good. Well, let's switch to your event management expertise, because you are now several senior proms into the senior prom event management situation. You've had a couple already. Each one, as I see the pre and post reporting on it in your wonderful e-newsletters and your emails, these things seem to have grown and are now sort of self-perpetuating. You've got people waiting for the next one, not only to attend as guests, but also vendors and service providers and such that want to put their products and services out in front of the attendees.
Yes, and every year that, you know, the different events and the prom is growing. This year we're having the centerpieces. I'm having various companies donate them, and then we can raffle them, but also have a little competition mm-hmm. to see who will take away best in show, mm-hmm. With a themed centerpiece.
Sure.
And we have the prom. So the prom is May 9th at Aria and Prospect. It's a full sit-down meal, dancing. We have a DJ, raffles. We do the king and queen. We'll pass off the king and queen duties to someone else. And we have flowers. It really is it's a lovely afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
And so many of the centers, and like you said, every year now they get on board, you know, more and more people really want to come to this.
Mm-hmm.
So it's nice.
Where as we speak here in the last weekend of April, you still have a few tickets left for people to attend, or are you nearing the sellout point?
We do have some tickets. The cutoff is actually this Friday, because the prom is May 9th, and we do have meal choices. It's a full sit-down meal,
okay.
So they can contact me, but we do have space.
Okay, so if people are listening to this program the Sunday after the Friday cutoff, and they call and they say, we heard it on the radio, you'll give them a little, you'll give them a chance to get a ticket?
Yes, absolutely.
Excellent. So once again, that is the upcoming senior prom that is going to be happening in Prospect, Connecticut in just a couple of weeks here. For all the information that we're going to be talking about on the program this morning, you need to bookmark NE Young at Heart for New England Young at Heart. That's neyoungathart.com for the website. We're with Young at Heart's founder, Elaine Marcuccio, this morning. We've got a few more minutes with her to talk about some of the other exciting things going on with her organization. Folks, if you've never heard of it, this is a wonderful resource if you're the loved one of an elderly individual or couple who's looking for some bona fide resources or activities activities or opportunities for them, not just in the Naugatuck Valley. Their resource network is wide and comprised of many local companies who are forming this resource alliance to, so Elaine wants to play a role in informing these communities about these reliable, healthier living resources and individuals that are available to them right through this website, anyyoungatheart.com. So check that out. The other thing that we started talking about, I think, excuse me, the last time you and I chatted, Elaine, that seems to have taken off, are these granny packs. Tell us a little bit about that.
Oh, yes. So granny packs are a little subscription box that you can send to your grandparents or even your parents or aunts and uncles. And, you know, they're just a little something to say hello. And, you know, obviously I'm around so many senior centers and assisted livings and people, you know, it gives grandma and grandpa like bragging rights. Look at what I got in the mail today. Mm-hmm. So, and it could be something, it's their little goodies. And we do, you know, if you're diabetic or not and different things. So it depends if they live at home and they're independent, if they're in an assisted living or in a nursing home. So we can, you know, tailor the boxes. And it's just a great way, and we handwrite a note in there that just, you know, a little note that you want to put in. And you know what? It just makes their day once a month just to get even a little tea or coffee with some cookies or a little dessert. Mm-hmm. It just makes their day.
And most special, a reminder that they are still special to someone out there who's thoughtful enough to send a granny pack.
Yeah, it's just, you know, I just see them when somebody sends them something and, you know, it's just, they're like, look at what my granddaughter gave me today. Yeah. And it's a really nice thing. And we know that most of them just really love their sweets too. So,
yeah, well, it can really light somebody up in many ways. Now I'm seeing a May 16th activity too at the JCC, right?
Yes, we have our Senator Logan Health Fair. Mm-hmm. The Senior Health and Wellness Expo, and we have lunch to the first 150 people. There'll be a free lunch, and we have Dr. Bernie Siegel. He's going to speak. Lionel Kitchian from the Happiness Club, and a demonstration of laughter yoga. So there's also vendors there. So it's not just health vendors and screening. There's vendors for your home, and there's also vendors for jewelry, some, you know, clothing. It's, again, a really nice afternoon, and the JCC is opening up their, you know, their home to us, mm-hmm. and it'll be a great day there.
So this is at the big Greater New Haven JCC, right on the Woodbridge, Westville line in New Haven, correct?
Yes. Yeah. In Woodbridge, yep, 360 Amity Road.
Very good.
In Woodbridge.
And once again, people would just go to neyoungatheart.com and scroll to the events tab and look up that event if they want to attend. And this, I'm sorry, you said this was free to attend. And
this is a free event, yes.
And the first 100 or so people also get a light lunch?
Yes. We have a box lunch to give them.
Well, as I look over anyyoungatheart.com, I'm inclined to ask about something else that's popping up here that I can't really seem to figure out. It's called Brick Village. What's that?
Oh, so New England Young at Heart, as you know, so we're made up of a bunch of providers.
Yes.
But, and our providers, we provide services to members.
Mm-hmm.
And I just formed, I said, you know, I want to give it a name.
Yes.
So I decided on BRIC, and it's BRIC, and it's Building Relationships and Communities.
Mm-hmm.
So our members, when you're a member of New England Young at Heart, you are a part of this BRIC village. And that village, you know, we have volunteer opportunities for you, or if, you know, you need somebody, you know, you're not feeling so hot or you just got home and maybe you need a volunteer to come rake the leaves or just to do something. It gives you that, you know, volunteer bank. And just, again, just to build relationships within your community. Maybe somebody can drive and another person cannot. So maybe they could pick them up and bring them to the prom.
Well, that's great.
You know, I'm just connecting people.
Sure.
And, you know, everybody deserves to have some fun and enjoy their days.
Yes. And folks, if you're hearing anything that inspires you, if you'd like to be involved, maybe you'd like to donate or get involved by providing a service or offering some volunteerism, you can go to neyoungatheart.com for New England Young at Heart. Elaine Marcuccio is their organization founder. They've got their senior prom coming up. They've got their big health and wellness fair at the JCC in Woodbridge, and lots of other activities or ways for you to reach out and touch the lives of our older seniors here in your neighborhood, in your community, in the state of Connecticut. The New England Young at Heart Service Network is aimed to guide the elderly and their caretakers in enriching their lives with purpose and meaning. Their network is comprised of local companies who join together to form a resource guide designed to inform local communities about reliable, healthier living resources available to them. And it all started just because Elaine Marcuccio needed those services herself, and from that need grew this fantastic operation, now about 5 years strong. So, Elaine, thank you so much for being on the program. Best of luck with the senior prom, the health and wellness fair, your brick village, and we will be in touch again soon. Thanks for being part of the program. You've been listening to our award-winning public affairs program, For the People. The opinions expressed on this broadcast represent those of our guests and host and do not necessarily represent the views of Connoisseur Media. If you have a suggestion for a guest, an issue, or a community calendar item relevant to the audience and communities we serve, you must make a request for consideration in writing via email to me at john.voquette@connoisseurct.com. We do not accept pitches or requests for coverage by phone. Remember, no part of this program may be copied, disseminated, or rebroadcast. Our public file, reflecting the full scope of our station's responsiveness to critical issues in the communities we serve, can be viewed upon request weekdays during normal business hours in the New Haven area at 440 Wheelers Farms Road in Milford, and for our Hartford stations at 869 Blue Hills Avenue in Bloomfield. Our theme music is by Rick Miller and Scott's, with original music by Noel Viette. This is John Voquette, Director of Public Affairs for Connoisseur Media. Join us again at this time next week for more conversation and information on the award-winning For the People. Don't forget, you can listen to this and other For the People podcasts anytime on iTunes or under the podcast tab at our radio station's website. Until this time next week, thanks for listening.